Good morning.
Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And yourself?
Good. How are things in Boston?
Well, right now it's overcast, but we had a great weekend. So
yeah.
It was bang.
Good.
And yesterday was nice. The sun's supposed to come out again, so.
Yeah. Same here. And my daughter took today off, and I'm thinking, oh, please clear up for her so she can go to her pool.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Anybody else want to say hello? Okay. You watching any Olympics, Daddy?
Well, I haven't really watched it, but every time I go on the internet, you know, they have some blurbs about it, so I've been reading about it anyways. It's too bad about that gymnast, huh? Because they had tie for the gold.
I know. I just
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, I just saw that this morning on the Today Show.
Oh.
I'm so aghast that they're saying these kids are 16.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know it.
My husband, who is so oblivious to those kind of things, when I said to him, that kid's supposed to be 16 this year, he laughed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way.
I know. I know. It just makes you wonder how desperate the people are.
Oh, it discredits their country.
Yeah. I mean, it trickles down to everything, including the lead and the toys they're sending. Oh, well. Yeah.
Well, at least we got a wonderful swimmer out of everything.
Oh, my gosh. For sure.
Oh, he was on Today Show.
I did not see that.
Morning show this morning.
Oh, okay.
Did you know?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Oh, boy, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It is, and the condition of these kids is just phenomenal.
Oh. Hi.
Yeah. Who else is on? Anybody else want to say hello?
Hello, this is Brenda.
Hi, Brenda. How are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Anybody else want to say hi?
Good morning, Nancy. It's Betty.
Would you believe that right before I dialed the phone, your name came into my head, and I wondered where you've been and if you're going to the quarterly again this time?
I'm not in Ohio. We're having one here.
Oh, good. Okay. Because you haven't been on the call very much, so welcome back.
Yes, thank you. I've been running.
Great. That time of year.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Who else wants to say hi? Quiet group this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Cher. How are you?
I'm doing great.
And as I was dialing the phone, I said, I'm going to make a decision. We're moving west. I can't stand this humidity anymore. As I'm looking here dripping.
Well, we're dripping too, but it's just it's cool and it's with some rain for the next 2 days. So.
We had some during the night and a little bit this morning, but the humidity is horrible.
Oh, no. Ours is, well, you know, of course, when it's raining, the humidity is high, but it's cool. It's about, oh, I think it's below 60.
Mm.
Or right about that. But it's wonderful for the garden when these things, when it happens. Yeah, it's right at 60.
Yeah. It's raining. Yay! You don't have to turn the water on. It's so much better than getting the water, you know, the sprinkler anyway.
Yeah, right. It is. It's everything's done at once.
But then if you don't get sunshine, you're not good either.
Yeah. Well, we've been pretty warm other than this. So.
Uh-huh.
It just looks like it's growing by the inch by the hour.
Wow. Yeah. Ours is starting to wane already. The tomato plants are looking a little peaked, whatever it is. They're shutting down, sort of.
Ours are still blooming and putting on, so.
Well, but you started a lot.
Yeah, I started so late.
And you have a longer season anyway.
Well, I hope I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Who else wants to say hello? I have to tell you, Shar, and everybody, he picked garlic a couple weeks ago. I never bought garlic as big as the ones that he picked. I can't believe how huge they are.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why, but I'll take them. In fact, I put one of them on the grill this weekend. Very good.
I've got one little patch of elephant garlic that I have not planted a row, and I need to. You just get them from the sets?
You know, years ago, where I used to walk, a guy that I, you know, when you're out walking, people start talking to you, and so
uh-huh.
I'm friends with this guy. And one summer, he had garlic growing, and he gave me the seeds that are at the top. You know how the garlic is in the ground, and then the stalk comes up, and when it turns brown, there's a thing at the end that has seeds in it.
Right, a big ball.
Right. He gave me some of those seeds, and he said you have to dry them out, and then you can put them in the ground and you can get garlic. Well, we've never really harvested before, and I brought some of the seeds with us when we moved. And I think this is the first year we've ever really picked garlic. Last year we had some little ones that he brought in occasionally. But I did put some in. He actually, before he planted his garden this spring, pulled out a bunch of garlic because he said it was, and they really don't take up much space. You know, they really do not take up a lot of space in the garden. So next time, I put some seeds in again last fall. You put them in the ground, and...
You put them in the fall in the ground?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think I mentioned earlier, they spread into my rose garden. I don't know how they got there, but somebody must have dropped a seed or something, because I have them there also.
So you're not planting them in a row then, right?
No, I just threw them in.
Just scatter them, okay.
Yeah. And I'm hoping maybe, the smell of them, because every time I walk in my kitchen now, I have some seeds from the ones that were in the ground now. I have some seeds on the counter, and I walk in the kitchen, and it smells like garlic. I finally realized what smells in here.
Well, I'm going to try that one then.
You want me to send you some seeds?
I'd love to try some of them.
I'll send you some seeds.
Okay, I will do it.
I think an envelope should hold them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that
would be fun. Seeds from Cleveland.
Yeah, I'm not that meticulous.
Cleveland garlic.
That's right. And it would be interesting to see and it's interesting, some of the seeds are huge, and I know, there's no way of knowing whether that came from a big garlic or a smaller one, and some of them are in the normal size that I'm used to.
Yeah, ask Marty if he puts them in the fall, for sure.
I do.
He does. Oh, you do? Oh, well, then you know, okay.
Do the garlic. But, some of these seeds are really big, and I don't know why.
Well, I never see anything advertised about garlic seeds out here, so I don't know, but I know that they grow because I've got them in the one patch, but I have never pulled them out. They've just grown, and I watch them go to seed.
Oh, that's what we've done, yeah. I mean, this is really the first year he's pulled them out, and they were edible and big and, a nice head. So, yeah.
How do you know when to pull them out, Nancy?
When it gets really dead, when everything turns straw-colored. One of them he pulled out. In fact, the one that I made on Sunday, the ends were a little bit green, which probably tells me that maybe they should have stayed in another week or so. I don't know that you can pull them out too late, except that they'll start to rot, I guess, but you can pull them out too early. So make sure it's really, very dead on top. But the top that has the seeds, once those start to, the skin around them will start to shrivel and fade away, then you can pull those seeds off and just separate them into a pan and let them dry.
I've never tried garlic, so that would be really interesting to do.
I've never seen it, although I've never looked for it either, when we were buying our plants. Or did you ever see garlic seeds, Mark? I don't think I've seen garlic seeds in the either. So I don't know.
You can separate the heads of garlic and just plant the little bulblets, too, or the little sprouts.
Yeah, I think you can, too. Thank you, Anita, another farmer.
You do what? You spray them?
No, split a head of garlic and just...
Oh, split a head. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Okay, I will try it.
All these little ones. So, anybody else want to say hello before we continue?
Darlene.
Oh, I heard Darlene. Somebody else?
Loretta.
Good to hear you. Haven't heard you in a while either.
Oh.
Anyone else?
Just good morning.
Anita, we heard with the garlic. Thank you. How are you out there?
All right.
Still real hot?
No, it's real nice. Upper 70s and 80s.
That's good.
Pleasant.
Yes. Yes, poor Florida's finally getting some rain. Okay, well, we are doing the Advanced Lifestyle Call for anybody who may be listening and wonder what we're talking about besides garlic. I'm not going to read my thing because I don't feel like it. But it's interesting, on the Olympics, on the Today Show, I didn't realize that there are four distinct areas of China that give us different kinds of food. And two of them are near the water, so consequently they have seafood. there. They use a lot more seafood than the other two areas. I don't know if anybody saw that on the Today Show this morning. I did, and they said they're doing a lot more food segments on the program because they're enjoying eating so much over there. So,
remember the China study map and the one area that you could spot just the depth of the color where there was more cancer was right along the ocean. I can't remember the secondary. Remember that?
It's in
the China study book. Yeah.
I wondered about that. Yeah, interesting.
And they said that was due to more seafood.
Wow.
More fish.
So I'm wondering if it's because not only eating animal, but how clean the water is that it's coming from. I don't know.
Oh.
That's an interesting, keep bringing that up. I had totally forgotten this. Wow. I have to tell you, Marty's over there weighing his eggplants right now. He weighs the tomatoes that are real big. Now he's weighing the eggplants.
Are they the tubular ones, the long ones, or the fat ones? Or both?
They're not real huge. They're not the long, skinny ones either.
Okay, those are the Japanese ones I know they're referred to in the seed books, or some of the books anyway I've seen.
I plant are the Japanese.
Pardon?
I said that's what I plant are the Japanese.
Yeah, that's what I've got too this year. That's all that I saw available, to be honest with you. And of course, I started them from plants, so I've only got a couple, two, three plants this year.
Of course, he wants the eggplant parm for dinner. So that's what he's going
to
get.
I did a good one yesterday that I took to our party, and it was eggplant, polenta eggplant, and sun-dried tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
It came out really good. In fact, it's twice I've made it in the last week because I like it. I thought some of the others would enjoy trying it.
You know what I just thought of? I have all these plum tomatoes, and we planted them by mistake because I don't find them to be very juicy or flavorful.
But they're great for dishes.
I think I will cut, instead of using a pasta sauce, except on the very bottom, I think I will slice the plum tomatoes on top of the eggplant.
Oh, I'll tell you, if you wanted to try something different, if you've got any semi-coarse or, you know, other than just a real fine cornmeal, all this was really was cornmeal enough to, you bring it to a boil with, one batch started out for a 9x13. You started with 4 cups of water and 1 cup of medium grind cornmeal, it says, or polenta, whichever you want to call it. And you throw in some chopped parsley and some chopped basil leaves, if you've got that fresh.
I do in the garden, go ahead.
In the pot and boil it. Or you bring it to a boil, and then, let me just read it here to you. 4 cups of water, 1 cup of polenta. It would be 1.5 tablespoons of fresh chopped oregano and 1 tablespoon of fresh basil. Chopped, and then they just used a teaspoon of garlic powder in that amount. And
how much basil did you say?
One tablespoon of basil, 1.5 tablespoons of oregano,
okay,
and 1 teaspoon of garlic powder, or however you want to do the garlic.
Pardon.
I suppose because you weren't sauteing at first, I guess it would still cook up fine.
So
I don't know why it wouldn't. If you wanted to use fresh, I should try fresh the next time, wouldn't you say?
Oh, you know me with garlic.
Huh?
You know me with garlic.
Yeah, but I mean, there's no reason to use powdered when you could use fresh, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Because you're putting the water together. Okay, bring the water to a boil, and then whisk in the cornmeal and the herbs and the garlic, and remove the pan from the heat. Oh, whisking it, cook it for 2 minutes, okay, while bubbling for 2 minutes, and then let it set for 10 to 15 minutes with the lid on, and it'll cook the rest of the way. And you use that you spread that in the bottom of your pan, half of it in the bottom of the pan, and bake it, a bigger pan, okay, twice the size, a 10 by 15. You spread that across a 10 by 15 pan, and you bake it for, they've got it at 475 for of the eggplant. Let me see. There's two different temperatures here. It is not that hard. I've just got to read the instructions. Okay. They're having you roast the eggplant after you've sliced it thin for 25 minutes in the oven.
Oh, so they roast the eggplant separately?
Right, first. Okay. And then because it sears it, you know, and I brushed it. Actually, I just sprayed it with a little bit of the olive oil spray, really light. And I sprayed the bottom of the pan and then sprayed the top side of the eggplant. They also had me sprinkle the same amount of what I just gave you, oregano, basil, and garlic, that same amount on the eggplant.
While you're roasting it?
Well, before you roast it, right. For 25 minutes. Roast at 470, at 350. Okay, then you turn when that's done, you turn the oven up to 475, and you have spread your polenta on another sheet that's 10 by 15.
Okay.
The beer sheet. So you're using two of those sheets that are sprayed, one for the eggplant, one for the polenta. And so you pull the eggplant out, and you spread that about a quarter of an inch thick is what it's going to make it. And you put that in for 10 minutes at 475 until it's lightly browned and it's drying away from the edges. Okay, then you take your oven down to 400, and that's when you combine everything in layers. And you've got you first put the layer of, you use an 9 by 13 pan. And the first layer is eggplant slices. And then would be your tomatoes, and they're using sun-dried, but you could use fresh. And then it uses tomato sauce, which you would not need, because you're using fresh tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you top it with another layer of the polenta.
Okay, is the polenta first, or is it the egg?
I'm sorry, the polenta is first on the bottom.
Okay.
Half the polenta that you've baked in the oven. And then half the polenta, then the eggplant, and then the tomatoes. And then top with the rest of the polenta, the eggplant, the tomatoes. And they have to use a sauce. They're having to use some sauce in between. But I don't know that you'd need it with the tomatoes.
Okay.
They'd cook down. You could try it and see. I mean, all it's going to do is, if you've got a little bit of sauce, throw a little bit of sauce in there just to make it moist.
Okay.
But I'd sure try it that way. I can't imagine it not being even buttery.
Uh-huh.
And the sauce I used was not good sauce. So the second time, so I wasn't pleased with that. You could sure taste the difference in the two sauces.
So then... you put the tomato.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Then you put it in the oven for 25 minutes at the 400 degrees, and you can top it with your vegan cheddar, which I found one that was okay. It wasn't exciting, but it was
before
okay.
Before
you put it in the oven, yeah.
And you said 25 minutes?
25 minutes, yeah, and then let it set for 5. So you're used to putting that together. It wouldn't be any harder for you to put together what I said, except making the polenta and roasting the... But I like the way it comes out, and probably because you're roasting the eggplant before a little bit more of the moisture comes out, even as you sprinkle the eggplant with salt at the beginning, too. You never do that, do you?
No.
Yeah, I don't see any reason to do it quite far.
Bring the moisture out.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't see any reason to do it. That would be another reason not to do it, because you'd have a little bit more juice in there on the polenta.
Yeah. All right, so let me just review this, what I have, so that people may be writing it down or not. You're going to roast your slices of eggplant first with the spices that you said.
And a little bit of olive oil spray.
Okay. But parsley without, you had mentioned that initially.
I should not have said parsley.
Okay, with the oregano.
The oregano, yeah.
You spray the eggplant first.
Right, and then sprinkle with the egg.
Then you roast them on like a cookie sheet at 350 with the basil, 1 tablespoon of basil chopped, and 1 tablespoon of oregano and 1 teaspoon of garlic powder or
fresh garlic.
Or you just throw fresh garlic in the whole thing, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know why not.
Okay, then roast that for 25 minutes at 350. And those are raw slices of eggplant.
Right.
Then
two sheets you've got these on. Yeah.
Does it matter whether you slice it lengthwise or round?
I don't know what difference it'd make. It just says quarter of an inch, so.
Okay.
How many eggplant do you use?
On that recipe, it's one large.
Okay.
That's three small, so that'll work. Then you, for the polenta, 4 cups of water, 1 cup of medium grind cornmeal, and again, another tablespoon of basil, 1.5 tablespoons of oregano, and some garlic, or you can do whatever
right.
you your garlic. You're going to boil the water first, add the cornmeal and the herbs, and cook for 2 minutes. Turn off your stove. I move it off the heat.
Yeah, remove from heat and cover.
And let it sit with the lid on for 10 to 15 minutes.
Correct.
Then you're going to put half of this in a 10 by 15 pan.
No, you put the whole thing in the 10 by 15 pan.
All of it.
All of it, yeah. All of it goes in the pan because you're baking the whole thing. Half of it is used on the bottom of the pan then, and half in the middle because you're layering it twice.
And you bake this at 475 for 10 minutes.
Right.
Okay. Then at 400, you're going to layer everything in a 9 by 13 pan. All these different pans, Joe, you know I don't like
those. 9 by 13, I'm sorry, yes.
And the cornmeal goes on the bottom first, half of it.
Yep.
And the eggplant. Then tomatoes / tomato sauce on top, and then you start the layers again with the cornmeal, eggplant, tomatoes / sauce. And you can put cheese on top, bake at 400 for 25 minutes, let it sit for 5 minutes, and then chow
it. You can let it sit for 5 minutes afterwards, you know, just like you normally do with lasagna. So.
It's called?
It was just called polenta. What did I say? Polenta. Eggplant and with sun-dried tomatoes. And they're using sun-dried tomatoes instead of fresh, so you can put that behind it.
Well, I'm putting polenta with tomatoes and eggplant. We have to get the eggplant in there. We know what we're eating. Okay.
Yeah, well, the eggplant was second item, so polenta, eggplant, and sun-dried tomatoes. Because originally, and the flavor with, you know, if you're doing it in the wintertime, you don't have the fresh tomatoes.
Sure.
Sun-dried tomatoes gave it a wonderful, you know, depth of flavor. So I would just use more regular tomatoes, so.
Uh-huh.
And minus the sauce, because they're putting the sauce in the original. And I see no reason to not change them around, so.
Sounds really different and good. I'll try this one.
I love the polenta on there instead of, you know, just the idea of just the eggplant, or instead of the idea of the pasta.
Is it like some, will it be like breadcrumb kind of thing?
No, it actually it's a cornmeal. It's just a cornmeal layer, and it just there's enough moisture in it that it really replaces the pasta.
Sounds delicious. I don't put mine on pasta.
We don't either anymore, except occasionally when I find another recipe to try. But
okay.
You know, as far as the basic, I wasn't using any when I was doing your eggplant recipe either.
And this would be something that you could use for somebody who's gluten intolerant.
Right, exactly, and it's also would cover as a, you know, a starch entree because you've got a good amount of starch in there, so.
Oh, sounds wonderful.
So, I got by without typing it out, so you guys recorded, so. I do get around to some of these, but I don't get around to all of them all the time.
Sounds really good. This is, okay, I'm glad I mentioned eggplant for dinner tonight. He'll be thrilled. Yeah, I told you. He keeps saying, if you would cook like this, I'd eat better.
Although something different, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, good. Anybody have any questions on the recipe?
This is Pete, and I just have a question on the sun-dried tomatoes. I've got regular dried tomatoes. I mean, they weren't sun-dried that I've had in the fridge for years. Anyway, I can do those for sun-dried?
You could. What the sun-dried that I had were in strips, and they were really packed in the jar. I mean, I could make a dozen of these with the one jar of sun-dried tomatoes. I've never seen so many in a jar. I'm going to save the label on the brand and try and search them down again. I have not a clue where I got them. And they were packed in oil, but they were packed so tight in the jar that I had to pry them loose with a fork to get them out. And so what I did then was chop them. And they chopped easily because they were soft with oil. So you can do it however. You might put just a few drops of the oil in because that gave some of the flavor, you know, spread it with the tomato.
Ones I've got are just dry. They're not cracked in oil at all. So.
Right, that's what I was saying. You might, you know, just sprinkle a few drops of oil over them, and I would layer them, you know, thicker than just what. When I sun-dried my tomatoes, they are just paper thin, right?
Yeah.
If you do them in slices. So I would do more than probably one slice on top. You know, I'd put, like, a couple of slices deep.
You could add fresh ones in with it, too.
Right. No, my recipe did not have fresh. They were just sun-dried tomatoes. And to tell you how few it took, it was... a half a cup, but when I got through chopping them on the board, they looked more like at least a cup, and I just sprinkled them around, chopped on top, so either would work, obviously.
Shia?
Yes?
Do you think I could make this with every step until the final bake and just refrigerate it until I'm ready to eat?
I don't know why not.
I mean, just for us for dinner, and then I'm thinking for company, too, so that you don't have all this last-minute stuff.
Yeah. I'd try it that way, make it ahead in the morning.
I think that's what I'll do today because, you know, as long as I can do it now, that way I don't have to worry about it later and just put it in the oven before dinner.
Yeah, so on recipes, and since you, well, you said you don't have many blackberries, but maybe some other people have blackberries around. Denny gave me a great idea yesterday because we were doing so many apples the night before. He says, why can't you just take those apples and freeze them? And I know people have done it. I have not. Freeze them in a pan ready to, or after I bake them, but in a pan pie plate, ready to do drop in the pie plate to make apple crisp.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to do is put the topping on. Well, yesterday I combined, day before yesterday, I combined blackberries and apple slices.
Mm.
I used a little bit of pectin. I'm still figuring out the exact amount. I think it was about 3 tablespoons to 6 cups of fruit is what I did. The minute tapioca, you sprinkle it on the fruit with, I used a quarter of a cup of turbinado sugar and then a sprinkle of stevia in with it for the sweetness. And, let it set with the tapioca and the turbinado and the stevia on it for 10 to 15 minutes. And then you're ready to bake it with the topping on it. Well, I'm going to bake it without the topping, wrap it in plastic wrap, and then freeze it in a bag. And I'm going to do 2 or 3 of them today and see how they come out. I mean, they have to come out, so it's just a little bit different than having it fresh.
So you're going to bake it ready to eat now.
Right. Well, I'm gonna bake it like I did the apples part way. I'm going to bake it for 20 minutes.
Okay.
So everything's still chunky. So everything's been hot, and then it goes into the freezer when it cools, and then when you pull it out, it gets baked again with the topping on it.
Okay.
And your topping will be crisp.
Got it.
So that's got to be an easy way of having something prepared for a dessert that's still a really, really healthy dessert, because all that goes in my topping is a little bit of, you know, oatmeal and a little bit of flour, oatmeal flour, and a little bit of coconut oil with your cinnamon. I think was all I put in it. You could put nuts, you could put coconut, you can do whatever you want, but it's just a regular apple crisp. So if anybody's got extra fruit coming on, that would be a way of preserving it ready to go and taking up no more freezer space than I would have with, you know, what I was doing with the packages anyway.
We really don't have a lot of dessert recipes coming off these calls, interestingly.
Yeah, and you know, I like to have something that I can pop in the oven, and the one that I made came out really good, and so I thought, well, hey, when he asked me, I said, no reason I can't do that.
Basically, two heads are better than one.
Yep.
You never know what these husbands are going to pop up with.
You don't. Sorry to interrupt your call so long there, but yeah, I just could not give it to you when I heard you talk about it, because I just think it was a great find for us anyway.
Glad you did. Thank you. I had my last Tai Chi class yesterday for this session, and she walked around initially, and Marty went with me. I decided to try it and actually said it was interesting, so he may go back. But anyway, she passed out a sheet, 46 Reasons Why Your Body Needs Water Every Day. And she talked about it briefly, and I was reading the pelvis last night, but as I was leaving the class with her, I said to her, have you read the book, Your Body's Many Cries for Water? She said, yes, how do you know about that? I said, what is it I do? Oh, she said, that's where I got the list from. Interesting. Anybody who has not gotten that book, I have not read it, but it's one in my library. And, Char, have you read the book? Hello? Is anybody there? I'm talking to myself?
Oh, no.
No, I'm here.
Oh, I was ready to hang up the bell again. Has anybody read the book?
No.
And, you know, the teacher was telling me about it, and as she's talking, I'm remembering that this is why I got the book. I think the author, I want to think he was in prison for something, and I think she said an ulcer, I forget, and he literally cured whatever it was just with Walker.
Mm.
And, I was just reading down the list. If somebody has a scanner, I could fax this to somebody, and they could pass it down. I don't have a scanner. And a website to go to also is www.watercure.com. And I don't know whether this list actually may be on there. I haven't checked yet. But if it is, that's certainly a good place to get it. Water increases greatly the efficiency of the immune system in the bone marrow, where the immune system is formed, all its mechanisms, including its efficiency against cancer. It's some really, you know, some things that we've talked about on this call, and some things, here, water is a better pick-me-up than any other beverage in the world, and it has no side effects. Helps reduce stress, anxiety, depression, restores normal sleep rhythm. There was something on here about Alzheimer's that I read last night. She went on to say how dehydration is so bad for the body. One thing she didn't say, surprisingly, was the primary reason elderly people go to the hospital is dehydration. But she said that, you know, so then they go and get a $400 bottle of water hooked up to an IV instead of drinking water. Isn't that interesting? $400 bottle. I never looked at it that way. But when you go get an IV, that's the first thing they do is a 400 bottle bag. So, water, this is good for us guys. Water decreases premenstrual pains and hot flashes. So when you're getting a hot flash, go drink a water, see if it helps. Dilutes the blood, prevents it from clotting during circulation. Helps prevent glaucoma. Gives luster and shine to the eyes. Makes the skin smoother. Helps decrease the effects of aging. Helps reverse addictive urges, including those for caffeine, alcohol, and some drugs. Anyway, it's a really good list, and I'll look on that website and see if it is there, and you might want to do the same. So it was a good class yesterday, and I love that she, you know, brings in other things besides just the Tai Chi. And we went outside yesterday. Doing these things under trees, you get so much more energized. She said, you know, you're getting the full effect of the coming up through the ground and under the trees is really good for your body. So if you want to meditate or go outside, get the benefit of being on the earth. So, anybody have any questions, concerns, thoughts?
That's what we did at McDougal. They had us outside.
Ah.
Us doing Tai Chi.
Uh-huh.
Even mentioned that. But
yeah. It's all an energy flow, you know. Oz is going to be on Oprah today, Mr. Dr. Energy. He says that's the next wave anyway. But, yeah, he's going to be on Oprah today for you, anybody who wants to watch. But, yeah, she's cool. Anyone have any questions or thoughts?
Yeah, this is Darlene. I was just going to mention that several years ago, I had my mother-in-law at the doctor for an echocardiogram, and the technician, I was in there with him whenever he was putting it on and everything. And he, all of a sudden, he says, oh, my gosh. He says, you don't drink any water. And my mother-in-law says, what did he say? And I says, oh, he said you don't drink water, which she didn't.
Uh-huh.
And she says, oh, I don't like the taste of it.
That's what a woman said to me yesterday after the class. She cannot stand the taste. She drinks no water, cannot stand the taste of it. And interesting, the teacher brought up that you should get a Brita. I didn't say anything, you know. But I think her point was that's a good place to start.
Uh-huh, yeah. But I thought it was so interesting that he could actually see her organs, her internal organs, were dry.
A good way to see if you're dehydrated is to take the skin on your hand and pull it up.
Uh-huh, yeah.
If you're dehydrated, it doesn't go down quickly.
Yeah.
Try it, guys. I know that, and if you're going to give blood, you know, if you're having a blood test, especially if you're having a fasting blood test, that's the reason you're allowed to drink water, because otherwise they can't find your veins. So,
right.
Yeah. It's the staff of life.
Oh, yeah.
And most people we know do not drink enough water. And she said other beverages don't cut it.
No. No, not the same.
No. No. But I was talking to Julia Leatherman over the weekend, and she mentioned that the Brita's, it says on there that you're supposed to replace the filter every 30 gallons. I mean, for me, that's less than a week. So it turns out that as cheap as they look, it's pretty deceiving if you follow what they tell you to do. Anyway. Thanks for sharing this, Arlene.
Yeah. If people could just see.
Well,
it's all about education, isn't it?
That's exactly what I was going to say. We're back to educating. Yeah.
So when we, you know, when we refer to ourselves as, you know, just use the word educator. We're an educator.
Mm-hmm. I just share information.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does anybody know, by the way, if the original gold NECAM bracelets are still available, or have they gone totally into the new ones?
Gold. Now, the chain link, you mean?
Remember the chain, or the puzzle one, and another one that's, yeah, kind of like a chain.
Oh, I know what you mean, that I hooked together for necklaces, that's why I can't remember it. I don't believe so, no. I haven't seen it. I've seen them pictured for quite some time.
So it's all the new ones.
That was when they changed to the newer ones. Mainly because they had trouble with the catches on them.
No, I lost one. Right, yeah. The new one I have never lost. But I immediately ordered another one, unfortunately. And the clasp was definitely tighter, so I have not lost the second one. There's a safety thing on it that makes it more difficult to get off.
I've got a couple of those that have the clasp is broken on, and I should see if I can't find somebody to replace it.
And is there some place where I can find how long the new ones are? I know with the other ones, sometimes they listed in the catalog the length.
I know that the gold and silver one is a little longer, and you can, of course, you can have the links removed, so
right.
The length doesn't mean a whole lot other than if you're trying to get the largest one.
No, I want the small. Somebody at Tai Chi, the woman that I loaned the invoice to.
The platinum one in there is smaller, and so is the black narrow women's bracelet is smaller, shorter. I know that for a fact. Those are the two shorter ones.
I did tell her that you can have them, you know, you can have some of the links removed.
And just an update on that subject, Marie that resides with us took hers into what is a Fred Meyer's here, which is like a, well, I don't want to compare it to Walmart because it's definitely not low-end in their stuff. But anyway, they have a pretty defined jewelry department, and the gal ended up not charging her for having the links removed when they got into a conversation about the bracelet and her needing carpal tunnel surgery, so she got a new customer out of it. So you might just want to go in and show them bracelets wherever you go.
Uh-huh.
Because it definitely brought the conversation up. You know, she just gave her testimony on it and the problems she used to have. And she used some wordage on it. I'll have to ask her again and write it down because she was very good at the way she described it, very quickly and very briefly. And the gal caught on, and twice she told her before she got out there, I am going to contact you. I need to get that and try it. I would love to have one of those to use.
Mm.
So, anyway, just another...
Well, one time I heard Vance...
Nancy?
Yes.
Nancy, I can give you the dimensions of those bracelets if you'd like.
Yes.
Okay, the two-tone link ones, the gold, silver tone.
Yeah.
Is 8.5. The titanium link bracelet is 8.5. The woman's braided stainless is 7 7/8. And the men's classic stainless is 8 3/8.
Wait, so the men's is what?
The men's classic stainless is 8 3/8.
What was the one before that, the women's what?
The woman's braided stainless. That's the one that, it's very pretty. It's silver with black inside it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of narrower than the others.
Okay.
And that's 7 7/8.
Okay. Okay, this woman, two women were asking me, actually. Because I took the brochure, and the one who had borrowed the Mag Voice, who has fibro and had had a stroke, has a really tiny, tiny wrist.
They're going to have links taken out.
I put the, you know, the sport bracelet on her, and it didn't fall off. But she would rather something more up her wrist because it was coming down her hand.
Yeah, and that one's not adjustable.
Yeah.
I know why I thought the titanium was shorter. It's because it's lighter weight.
Uh-huh.
And I wear that for everyday wear, or the sport bracelet.
Yeah.
Just because of the weight, it's very, very easy to wear. And it's more flexible than the gold and the silver one combined.
Okay.
The women's black and silver colored is more flexible also. The other one is a little stiffer because of the design of it, the way the links are together.
Which first one that you said was more flexible?
The titanium. It's lighter weight and more flexible.
Okay.
And it looks more casual than the silver and black one.
But it's also 8.5 inches.
Yes, but I'm sure she's going to have them taken out.
She asked if Nikan would take it out, and I said no. I said, but I'm sure any jeweler could.
Yeah, I took mine in.
Okay. I know that when they first came out, a guy actually bought one, and he also had a very small wrist, and he took it out himself. But I wouldn't recommend people doing that.
No, I was at a jeweler at a swap meet with Jeannie down in Phoenix when I had mine taken out. And
sure.
The jeweler there probably didn't do near the amount of jewelry that, you know, a regular jeweler would do. And he said he had a terrible time getting the links out. Now, this gal that just took hers in, there was no comment on that. And if they're not going to charge, obviously it couldn't have amounted to anything. So
yeah.
Maybe they're just slightly different, or maybe it's just a difference in the jewelers.
I'm sure it depends on what tools they're using and how experienced. You know, a lot of the my jeweler, in fact, does not do repairs. He's everything out, so he wouldn't even be, I don't know that he could, he will replace a watch battery, but I don't know that he would do that in the store. I don't know. I know if you need something repaired, though, it does go out.
Well, here you go. You got something to talk about when you walk into stores and you're finding out for other people that, you know, are going to come across your path so you know where there is one that can have it done.
Yeah.
Your area, too.
Good. Oh, my gosh. We are at a quarter of almost. Anybody have any closing questions, thoughts? I appreciate everybody's input this morning.
I've got a question for Char. I'd read something, I don't know if it was in a newsletter or what, from Dr. McDougall saying he didn't think you should take vitamins except for B because you're just wasting your money.
Yes, that's his statement, but he also says that he is not educated on anything dealing really that much with supplements. He just doesn't think you need them because you can get it from your food, and of course we differ. And he has no basis on whole food versus synthetic or what you would buy in the drugstore. So, you know, you have to look at people for their expertise, and that's not his qualified field. He's an MD, and he makes no bones about it. He does not work in the alternative field, so he works as an MD.
Okay.
He's using food to heal our bodies is what his statement would be to that. So, yeah, I found that true.
What about organic? Does he use more organic than that?
Yes, he does use organic, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean he's alternative.
No, I know. No, he's looking for purity and possibly more nutrition than the majority of people get.
Are getting, exactly.
Right. You know, if we could be sure that what we're getting
was
doing what it's supposed to, then none of us would need to, you know, much nutrients. But, yeah.
Yes, you're exactly right, Onita.
Okay, thanks.
So, the reason you need to know that is when someone goes there or asks him about that, you need to be able to tell him in advance that he does not make a positive statement on supplementation. That is not his field, and when I brought it up, he said, that's not my field.
Okay.
Wow.
I can't address that.
Good.
And just left it. So, you know, I respect him highly for that.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to be in that field. He's got enough to keep track of in the field he's in.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather have him be a field and that expert and leave the rest of it to us.
And be honest enough
to say that, right. I'd rather have him be an expert in our field also. I didn't mean it to sound like I wouldn't. But at this point, he's got enough on his plate and he doesn't want to go any further.
And we can't all be experts on everything like all of us on this call. Yeah.
We know our products. We know the value of them.
And we know our limitations.
Yep, we do.
And it sounds like he does also.
But we don't have to be experts because we got people behind us that give the information to everybody else. All we've got to do is point them in the direction of it.
Good point. No pun intended there. No. Anyone else have any last questions, thoughts, comments?
This is Doreen. I was just going to say, in our newspaper yesterday, they had a large article about vegetarianism. Vegan, and they listed the other ones where they have some dairy and all that stuff. Anyway, they were just saying that it was, if you wanted to eliminate heart disease and all these different things, well, very interesting. Very interesting.
Happening.
I just have one quick question. I don't want to open up a huge can of worms, but I know that a couple of months ago, I was the one who started with the maximum weight loss under McDougal, and I promised that we would touch upon this at least sporadically. Anybody have any questions or concerns about that who has been struggling with it? I really don't want you to feel lost under all that.
No, I would just like to follow it more. I'm kind of lazy, and I don't go back to that. I just use some other recipes all the time, but I have made some of the recipes, and I do like them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know if I followed a little bit more, I could probably break through a plateau that I've been on for a while. But then again, I think, well, maybe tomorrow.
Sure you would, Darlene. And the other thing is I'd like to hear the ones that you've used, not necessarily today, but I'd like to have you share some of the ones that you've used that you've liked, because other people are looking for those, I know. So if you could do that, on any of the calls, I'm sure they'd like to have that put in, but, you know, I'll definitely open up space for you to, I'll try and remember to ask you for them, and if I forget, please.
Yeah, that recipe this morning sounded really good. I used to always make a tamale pie.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the cornmeal base was something.
I did, too. It always made me think of it also. So.
Yeah. So I'm going to try that one, too.
I'm excited to try that one tonight.
Oh, I want to hear your results.
Well.
Because you're doing a little different than I did, so I'm anxious to hear.
Uh-huh.
You know, the recipe with the okra that you just have it. A week or so ago.
Uh-huh.
I love that. I make that quite a bit.
Well, Marty finally said last night, you know, we've had this for 4 weeks. When is it going to end with the okra? And I said, left here, I'm not going to either dump it or eat it again. So I actually put it in with the rice and I'll eat it. He won't eat anymore. He's had enough of it. But it is. It's really good.
I
really like it.
Yeah. The last bit I had, I threw in, the other night, I threw in one potato, diced it, and just cooked it with it when I warmed it up. No, I cooked the potatoes for about till they were just barely soft, and then threw that in on top of it, and it was great.
Oh,
And the and I did, we did put over rice and we did put over baked potato too before. Uh-huh. The other thing is when you get down and you hear that comment, just throw that last bit in the freezer instead of serving it again, because that way the next time they really want it instead of, you know, that remembering. Because I've learned that, and I did the same thing with what I brought back from dinner last night with the polenta eggplant dish. I cut it into squares because we'd had it already in the last, you know, like 10 days ago or not even that far back. I had baked it the first time, and I don't want Denny to say, oh, that again?
Yeah, yeah.
I just cut it in squares and threw it in little, individually wrapped them, or wrapped two squares together and threw it in the freezer.
Good idea.
You know, hey, that's great, because I've got something already made. All I have to do is pull it out.
I didn't think of doing that, but that's a great idea.
Yeah, well, I do a lot of the time. That's why I said it.
Sometimes I put a little bit of it over the salad.
Oh, I do. That's what I do, yeah. And mix, yeah, rice and then some of the okra. Yeah, it's very good with the mixed in with the salad. And I'll tell you something, the beans, anybody who's having trouble getting rid of weight, eat some beans.
Yep, the fiber.
Absolutely. Huge.
Yeah. And the other day I was hungry for those twice-baked potatoes. I don't know why, but I was hungry for them, so I baked up a whole bunch of them and then put them in the refrigerator, and then I just take them out and eat them up.
Uh-huh. Good.
Very tasty.
I have to make potatoes. I haven't done that because I've had the rice, and the, you know, I don't like to have two starches in at once because I just don't.
Yeah, I can overdo the starches real easy.
Uh-huh. And Marty just said, I haven't made enough rice to last for a month. I do not. I make 2 cups. Anyway, any final thoughts, questions, concerns? We're almost at the top of the hour, and we're really way beyond. Well, I am so grateful and appreciative of everybody's input. That's what we just never know where these calls are going to go, and they certainly do go. Have a great day, everybody. Enjoy your cooking, and I'm going to go make some of this new recipe so we can have a delicious dinner.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Nancy.
Welcome. Have a great day, everybody.
You too. Miss everybody.
We miss you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.